I'm going to start off by saying I often pray with my eyes open, okay? I know a lot of people close theirs and things like that. And all you fellow motorists should be very thankful because I drive and pray at the same time. So just let's go before the Lord. Father God, this is the day you made. We've got a lot going on in our lives. Sometimes we get caught up in the busyness. We need to take time out for you because you bless us with every heartbeat, every day. Lord, my God, my Lord, my Master, as we come together now, we just pray that your word speaks into our hearts, into our minds, and that you make us just take something from this that will be useful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, Dave spoke a little bit that gave me a new perspective on Jesus. And when he was speaking in Luke, he was talking about, well, my Bible has the subtopic of the triumphant entry. And Dave made us aware that after, you know, you've got this crowd, people just exalting, you know, Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem. And when Jesus looked upon the city, how he wept, knowing that, you know, in 70 AD it would be, you know, pushed to ruins and things like that. But there was a new perspective that I thought about that, because even in the midst of everybody cheering and all that, you know, Jesus was thinking, knowing what was going to happen. And the bottom line of it all is, he knew he was that sacrificial lamb. You know, the Passover's coming. And when you go back to the book of Exodus and you read about the blood of the lamb being put over the doorpost, and that's what protects us. You know, Jesus is seeing all these people celebrating his entry in and realizing that he himself was going to be that sacrificial lamb. Not just for one person, but for all of mankind. He knew what was coming. And it really shook me because I'm thinking, man, here's a great time partying and things like that. You know, Jesus coming in. And that wasn't really the entire thing. You had to look a little deeper than just the physical. So the other day I was driving to work, and a song came on the radio called Hills and Valleys by Torrin Wells. And I started thinking about that too, and doing a little bit of a contrast. One of the verses that Dave used last week was the shortest one that you see in the Bible. Jesus wept. And I have a favorite verse. Well, actually, two of them that are, well, the NIV now has it four words. It used to be five. It used to be joyful always, pray continually. Five words, two verses. For those who want to memorize scripture, good start. Five words. Almost anybody can do it. Now it's four. Rejoice always, pray continually. And it says to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I was doing a parallel. I was thinking about the Good Friday, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, and then just the contrasting that with what happened on Resurrection Sunday, to realize that what he had said was indeed true, that we had a risen Lord, that it's just not like the sorrow, but you got to look a little bit more to the long term. And it was a revelation to me that sometimes I get hung up on just looking at the physical, the here and now, instead of looking necessarily at what the long term is, or even the longer term, the eternal. And one of the other things that Dave mentioned last week was how people sometimes, you can almost relate them to holidays. And the two or three that stuck out to me, he mentioned Halloween. And I just, during the course of the week, I started noticing how people were putting on the mask. Whether it's a mask, oh, yeah, how you doing, I'm well, all that kind of stuff, when they're really hurting, seeing past that, or people put, you know, Dave mentioned they'll wear expensive clothes or the car they drive, they put on a false facade rather than the real part of who they are, the real being. Another one he mentioned was Christmas and how people think that, you know, they're entitled, that everything is a present for them. And as a Christian, sometimes Resurrection Sunday, Easter is, you know, it's a realization of where Christ is in our life and what it really means. So as I was pondering those things during the course of the week, it got me to thinking a little bit more about my perspective, my vision. What do I value? And what do we focus on? So these two verses, as I was comparing them, the hills and the valleys came to mind. It was playing at the same time I was thinking about it. The joy of the disciples when they realized that Jesus, what he had promised, came to be. That he had indeed fulfilled the promise that he said the parable of Jonah was fulfilled. That he had gone for 3 days and now he was new again. And it gave me a reflection on my life. Now, I think about it in the physical. Sometimes when I think about my physical being, it's a very short-term thing. How am I feeling today? You know, what's going on? And then realizing that God is made in three persons, a body. Our body, our soul, and our spirit is the same way as God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are triune beings also. The physical is kind of a short-sighted thing. The emotional, we'll give up things for others. The emotional is more of a long-term, but not like the spiritual that's eternal. So the transition from seeing Jesus on the cross, looking at the physical, realizing, hey, your hopes, your dreams, that isn't what they expected. And then to see, hey, he really is risen. And we know from the account that there were Roman guards over the tomb. You didn't mess with the Roman guards. I don't know what happened to those individuals, but you know they were probably put to death for what happened. You know, were you sleeping on the job, this, that? It wasn't allowed. They were very strict, very orderly. But we have a Savior that has risen. It's a good thing. So, it got me thinking a little bit more as Dave's message came, how we are truly blessed. And at the end of the message last time, he had a video, and I think it was Tears of the Saints, and I don't remember who did it, but there was one verse that, or one stat that they put up there at the bottom that really hit me. And it said, 1.5 million people survive rather than live on $1.25 a day or less. It talked about the number of people that live in the slums. And I started thinking about how blessed we are. And how grateful sometimes we aren't. And we take things for granted. Now, the scripture I want to talk a little bit about comes from the book of Exodus. Because as I was thinking about the holidays, sometimes I look at it like every day's New Year's Day. It's a new beginning. We are blessed. God has poured out so much on us each and every day. And the scripture that came to mind, I know it's a familiar one, talks about the manna. And there were certain rules. When Moses told the people to go out and get it, you know, he said, you're going to go out and you're going to pick up what you need. And in Omar's, if you're reading the verse, it's about 3 pounds. So everybody went out and they picked up what they needed. And then when they measured them out, those who picked up a little less, you know, came out to what they needed. Those who had more, no, got down what they needed. God knows what we need, and he provides for our needs every day. Sometimes I just realize how extremely blessed I am. You know, they say being born in America is almost like winning the lottery because we have so much. When you go to visit other countries, different things that you see. You know, you go to Europe and it's not as bad, but if you ever go to a third world country, what you saw in the missions moments today, you are so blessed. What we have in this country, yeah, there's no place like home. You come home, but boy, do we have the comforts and the things that we amass. And sometimes I think I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because I have amassed a lot in my life. I feel so blessed. I don't live paycheck to paycheck. I'm not out scrounging for food every day. I have a shelter, food, clothing. My needs are met. God cares about us. He cares about me. And we saw the interesting thing that happened when the manna was there. There were some people who thought, I'm going to get a little bit more. It rotted. The maggots were in there. I mean, it went bad. God tells you what you need, and he gives it to us. Today, Dennis shared a little bit about Austin reaching out to somebody from, you know, somebody who is really in need. And boy, that speaks volumes. The way we help one another. You know, the early church giving to one another as a need was there. We need to take care of each other. There is definitely something there. Yeah, I got a note here that says, how many zucchinis do you really need? You know the answer to that, Josh. 12. Yeah, not 12 plants. In my neighborhood, you have to lock the cars, because in the summer, you could end up with zucchinis in it. Yeah, it's just one of those things. I had an uncle who passed away who was really into fishing, but my uncle lived a very Spartan life. He lived in a house that was probably a 50 by 40 house. He lived there his whole life. He did do a stint in the military, but the family that was raised there, all of his siblings in this small house, when I go there, my brother and I were going there at the tail end of last year, fixing things up for him and trying to make his life acceptable from when he'd come home from the hospital. And it was just like, well, one of us slept on the couch and one got the spare bed. And it was just so difficult. It's not what I'm used to. And I'm thinking, four siblings in that house with his parents. And I look at where I'm at today and I realize how blessed I am. It's not just the one-room apartment. We are so blessed and we have amassed so much. And sometimes we fail to realize that. But it's kind of like New Year's. Every day God gives us more and more. Our needs are met. Our daily bread. You can go to the Bible. You can read it in this country without any fear of people coming down on you or the military raging in. Or, you know, in other countries, they don't have that freedom. We are blessed in that. So as the song was playing, Hills and Valleys, I was thinking about my perspective on life. In the physical, if you're on the ocean or just because of the curvature of the earth, you can only see a little less than 3 miles. Well, they say somebody with their eyes at 5'7". So if I'm on my tiptoes, I might be able to see 3 miles. But if you're up at 10,000 feet, the curvature of the earth, you can see 122 miles. Your vision is just that much further. And I started thinking, when I'm looking purely at the physical, the here and now and what's in front of me, yeah, sometimes I'm short-sighted. I don't look at all that life is going on, what God is doing in my life, in the life of others, and how I need to transition my view, my perspective. There have been times when I've been hiking through the woods and you're just in mountain laurel, and you can only see 10, 15 feet among you. Or you watch some shows and people in the jungles of Panama or something like that, they're just closed in. Almost a claustrophobic feeling for some. But as you get higher and you see more, as you set your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, you start looking not just at the next few moments or the next couple years, but eternity. You realize how blessed you really are. I don't know if anyone here has ever had to move or downsize. We've moved a number of times in our life, and it's just amazing how much stuff you accumulate. I don't know if anyone's ever had to be an executor and take care of an estate and realize how much someone else has accumulated or things like that. But what God's been showing me, even my uncle who lived a Spartan life, the amount of fishing equipment he had, more than he'd ever used in his life, probably more than I'll ever use. Rick, I showed you some of it. Amen? Yes. Yeah, we can agree. The other thing somebody shared with me the other day, a little offside here. Okay. Do you know that fish is the easiest meat for the body to digest and process? And then comes poultry, then red meats and porks. But that's just aside from something I learned from a wise man yesterday. So I started thinking about this. What truly brings me happiness? What do I see in my life? What brings me joy? And I started thinking about how the disciples felt when Jesus reappeared to them. And he started talking to them. You know, there was so much fear in their life at that time. They thought, hey, was this all for naught? I mean, the body was gone. But then when he came back to them and talked to them, it's like, whoa, this is really something. This is real. There is a whole lot more to it than just the here and now. And I was thinking about what would make me thrilled like that. You know, when people first come to the saving grace and accept that of with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you see them on fire, thrilled. And I started thinking about some of the things that thrilled me in life. When I was younger, yeah, there was the adrenaline rush. It was all about me. You know, you jump out of planes or you go caving or, well, even hunting. Sometimes I'd get the adrenaline rush and my leg would shake so hard I couldn't stand still or sit still. And as I transition in life, as I mature a little bit more, and I see this in a lot of people, the joy isn't so much with what they're doing, but with others. I mean, Dennis, you've shared with, you know, when your grandchild gets out there and they shoot the deer rather than you, how happy they are and the joy. And I was talking to my brother yesterday how I miss talking to my uncle just because I know he would feel good about the joy that he has brought me and what I'm enjoying in life. And we transition that. How can we help others? And then I started thinking about something else. Some of the things in life that I've lost. And Jesus told two parables about this that I want to talk to you today. The first one has to do with a lost sheep. And I'm going to read from Luke 15. Starting in verse 3. Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep he finds? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you the same way there will be with rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents over 99 righteous people who do not repent. My joy in knowing Christ is, it's a great thing. It's an elation. But the joy of seeing someone else come to Christ. Wow. I mean, the angels party. They rejoice when that happens. Now, not many of us have flocks of sheep or things. A couple weeks ago, we were talking in the back about finding lost things. And someone mentioned a wedding band or a ring that was lost up at the fairgrounds and how, you know, maybe someday they'll go back with the metal detector and try and find it. And I shared a story that when I was once had problems with a vehicle of mine and I had to replace the head gasket. And I was being careful and I didn't want to get hurt, so I took my wedding band off and I put it on the cap of my truck. 2 days later when I finished the job, I backed out of the driveway onto the road and I hear a clink, clink, clink. It's like, And I got down the worm's eye view looking around and I could not find it. And I took a moment and I prayed. And I don't know whether the clouds let the sun come through, but you see that little glint and I found it and it was just so thankful. Because it meant something to me. It meant a commitment, a vow. And it wasn't just the material value of a ring or having to go get it replaced or something. It actually meant something. God answered prayer. And we see this in another parable as you go down to verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? I mean, we've lost things. How many people have really searched for something where you can't even get to sleep? It's like, wow. where did I put that? Where are these things, you know? And you search and you search, and it disturbs you, and you want to find it because it has value to you. And it goes on to say, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Wow. Hills and valleys, good times, bad times. I know the sorrow of having people you love not know or walk with the Lord. They're people we hold up in prayer to find those that are lost. And sometimes it just really, you know, you want to do everything you can. The other day I was fishing, and there was somebody else a couple yards down, and he and I started just talking. And he says, "Don't I know you?" And I said, "Yeah, we met once before, and we met in the meat store." And he said, "Yeah." And then he started preaching and preaching to me, and it was just like, okay, you know where I'm at. And I was able to share that with him. But there were another couple people fishing down a little bit further, and he was speaking so loud, I think that everybody heard him. But it used it as a tool. Just, yeah, what God has done in my life, a chance to share my testimony without having to be in your face about it, you know, to relate the great things God has done. Well, in this local neighborhood, this area, around your home, I think it's a fairly safe statement that there are people who don't know the Lord, that you have an impact on or could have an impact on, whether it's people at work, in your community, just the people you meet on a day-to-day basis. So, I know this is fairly short, but there's a couple takeaways. Things that can really, I think if you take them to heart, will speak into your lives. You got to look at where your focus is. And how your focus is, whether it's on yourself, on others, or on Christ, will make a huge impact in the way you feel. When I think about what some of the early church had to endure for the sake of Christ, and ultimately, so that way I could have a knowledge of that my Father in heaven loves me. You know, the Apostle Paul, when they were being beaten, how many times he's taken 39 lashes, or put in prison, or stoned, because he knew the truth. If it weren't for people doing that kind of stuff, or even people today risking their lives going to other countries to share the gospel, God loves us, and he wants everyone to have a loving relationship with him. So we need to extend our focus. It just can't be on ourselves. What part of your being are you focusing on? The physical? Our decaying bodies? The pain? Our hurts? Or do you look to the emotional? And there's emotional pain that we all suffer. But to realize that we have a Savior, someone that has given his life, shed his blood, somebody who's all powerful to come down to earth to be with us so that way we can have that right relationship with God. Wow. What a gift. I mentioned that we're all extremely blessed. At least those of us that have come to the relationship with God, you know, in the span of time, it says that this is just like a breath, a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. But there's something even bigger. Yeah, there's such an emotional peace you can know that God gives you, that you don't have to be anxious about anything. But God's peace is understanding. It guards our heart in Christ Jesus. But to know this and accept it is one thing. We have to be willing to go out and share it and to see that joy in others to strive as we become mature, that it's not all about us, and it's not even all about others. But God has given us a commandment to go out and share. Hills and valleys, how short-sighted are we, or how long, how far can we see? What is God really calling us to do? Something we need to think about. Let's pray. My God, help us to be your vessels. Lord, just awaken in us the desires of your heart. You deposited the Holy Spirit in us as a testimony, as an assurance of what you are for us. Help us to just go forth to share that with others. We all have a testimony. We all have a story. We've all been impacted by you. Lord, help us make an impact for you. We thank you for the shedding of your blood, the life you live, being that perfect, spotless lamb. Oh God, without you we're nothing, but yet you give us so much. Help us to share, not just in the physical, emotionally and spiritually, Lord. Just let us be conduits for you. The cup that you have given us, let us just pour out to others so that we may be filled by the Holy Spirit even more. Keep it fresh. Don't let us stagnate. We ask this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. You are